Taco for Buckets is brought to you by Caso Law. Whether your family is navigating a moment of crisis or you're facing criminal charges, they know what you're going through and they're ready to help. They know your love for your Gopher basketball team. So if you're looking for an attorney that will fight for you for parenting time on a game day, look no further. If you've gone so hard at a tailgate that you start speaking Spanish, this bilingual team is ready to answer your call. Caso Law is proudly women-owned. To set up a free consultation, go to casolaw.com/contact. That is casolaw.com. Get in touch today. All right, Ryan, we're back again with another episode where we get to chat with a Gopher assistant coach. We're excited to be joined by Dave Thorson. I don't know, Ryan, I know you've been looking forward to this for a while.
You know, my favorite part with Coach Thorson is to always get him talking about stories. So, Coach, that's going to be my goal, is to hear some stories at some point during this episode.
Well, we go way back, Ryan. I knew Ryan James when he was a student at Austin High School, so I don't know if we're going to get into that, but we've known each other a long time.
Luke, I got to start with the first time I ever met Coach. We were at Coach Haskins camp, right? And I'm there with Sam because, like, you know, okay, for people that don't know on this podcast, Sam is my cousin, our moms are sisters, et cetera, et cetera. And we went everywhere Sam did for basketball. So we're there, and I'm in line, and Sam's in line, and my brother is just sitting over there just with my mom and my aunt. And Coach Thorson goes to my brother, takes him to the camp store, and I'm telling you, Dave Thorson has a friend in life, Nick James, for that moment forever. Big smiling man, took my brother to camp store, you know, whatever. They helped him out, got him whatever, juice, whatever. And yeah, he had a big fan there. And then, you know, my mom is now a big Dave Thorson fan for life until the Austin Packers lost to De La Salle in the state championship game a couple times. So you had about a 25-year window where she was your biggest fan.
Well, you know, and what's so funny about that is that you know, let's face it, the general Austin Packer fan was not a fan of Dave Thorson and De La Salle. So everyone that knows my MO knows that, you know, I would go and scout, and at that time, you know, in that era, with Chris Fadness as head coach, obviously, who ironically, like, people don't understand, Chris and I are tremendous friends. You know, we were friends going all the way back to when I helped him get a coaching job at Hamlin, actually, where I played. And then he was at Caledonia, we played. And it's funny because I would go and scout those games, and people were kind of cold to me at Austin, not knowing that Fad and I are great friends. And I'm so pleased for him. They named the, you know, the community center gym and floor after him, and it deservedly so. What a great job he did in that community. But truly, my tie goes back to Ryan and Sam. And, you know, yeah, the whole Sam Jacobson recruiting, I mean, is a classic for me. The amount of time and energy I spent to convince Sam to be a Gopher is honestly, it's one of the greatest stories in my life, actually, because it turned out, and kind of the things that we talked about and that Sam Jacobson dreamed about, they happened. And he went to the Final Four, and I'm so proud of him, and what a journey that was.
And Luke, I'm glad he convinced him of that, because then I got to be a student manager, which I wouldn't have been able to do if Sam wasn't there. And then I got to meet all the great people I've got to meet in my life and build a basketball life for myself. So good thing Coach got Sam to go there.
Yeah, no, that's good. Let's start there, guys. That's a good segue. Like, Coach, you've been in and around Minnesota basketball for an incredibly long time. I don't live all that far from Hamlin, where I think you have some roots at as well. But yeah, so tell us about kind of your basketball journey and how you got into coaching, ended up on Clem's initial time at the University of Minnesota on one of Clem's staffs.
Well, you know, long story short, I think the worst Division III player in the history of Division III basketball. And, you know, God love Tim Muir, who was the head coach at Hamlin, that did encourage me to go into coaching. And even as a player, you know, got me involved in recruiting and scouting and all of that. And so I started working summer camps. And actually, what's interesting is that a Minnesota name that Ryan will know, that really had impact on me, was Clay Mosier. So Clay is a guy that is from Fergus Falls that ended up being a longtime LA Lakers coach and in their front office. And Clay was one of those guys that went and worked camps everywhere. On the East Coast, you'd start out. And so I followed Clay's path, actually. So I used to work basketball camps, you name it, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, North Carolina State, Syracuse, all the elite camps, five-star, Eastern Invite, you know, some other camps, Kansas, Arizona, you name it. I found all kinds of camps to work. And so when Coach Haskins got the job, I worked his camp. My name wasn't in the booklet, by the way, and that's how low I was on the totem pole. My name was not in the booklet. But, you know, in doing that, I developed a little bit of a relationship with him. And so when he got the job, fortunately, I was a senior in college that year, but, you know, I was really connected with the staff. And obviously Dan Kosmoski, who everyone knows is one of my closest friends, was on the staff at that time. And I just said to him, Clem actually gave me I said, I'd like to come over and talk to you. And I said, I'm going to work for you someday. And I said, you know, I want you to consider me for any opening that you had. I spent a year as a graduate assistant at the University of South Dakota with Dave Boots, had some recruiting success there. I signed two guys that ended up being most valuable players in the league. And then Clem had a volunteer opening on his staff. So I actually, my first 2 years on staff were as the volunteer coach, and it's set up a little bit different. So I actually got paid out of Coach Haskins' camp. I was more an employee of his camp than I was a University of Minnesota employee. And then my last, obviously, 3 years with him, I was promoted to full-time assistant. I was the youngest full-time assistant in the Big Ten at that time. And so, you know, I owe a lot to Coach Haskins. You know, he saw something in me, and I believed in him. And I think to this day I still say some of the same stuff he does about one over the top pass deserves another over the top pass. And Ryan and I, we could have a meeting right now and literally talk for an hour about Coach Haskinisms. But yeah, he and Yvette are just, you know, special people in my life.
Yeah. I think at some point we'll have to actually have that conversation. Fans well, in the off season.
Some we can say, and some we can't.
I was just going to say, Luke, we're going to get him to say one little PG one, but you know, like real quick, what Coach just said, like, you're going to hear a second person here. Like Coach changed my life. You know, things he did changed my life. And someday I think I've told people about this, but I'm not going to go into detail, but you already heard two people right here who talked about how much Coach Haskins changed their life. And it's the amount of people, the list is too long to name. And Dan Kosmoski, we'll see how good a friend Dave is here. Has he ever told you his fishing spot in Canada?
Oh, you know, that's a secret. And so, yes, you know, the he's got a couple of them, you know, and Kaz has got, you know, the lures he has, they're bigger than any fish I've ever caught. And so, but I will tell you that I know that at one point his Minnesota spot, he actually blindfolded a guy that he was taking up to fish with him because he didn't want him to know where it was. But Kaz is one that, you know, he, as I said, he got me involved with Coach Haskins and, you know, lifelong friends. And yeah, I think the world of him, obviously, and a great coach.
And he's not making that up. I have heard that multiple people say that Kaz blindfolded him when they would say,
it was crazy. Dave Farrar. I can tell you who was the head coach at Hutchinson Community College at one time. And then at Middle Tennessee State, it was Dave Farrar. He blindfolded him when he was taking him up to the lake. So yeah. Kaz, I think when he retires, he should be a guide up there.
Like, heck yeah.
He'll have every basketball coach in the country wanting to fish in Northern Minnesota.
So Coach Haskins, if there was something that you could tell the public that you took away from him, one big thing that you would take away from him, what would that be?
But it's easily the number one thing is that relationships, authentic relationships matter. And no matter what you do, and whether it's basketball, coaching, everything I've done in my life from a teaching perspective, you know, I was trained as a social studies teacher. I ended up, you know, I've been a fundraiser, obviously, more so at De La Salle, although guess what? I mean, college athletics has changed, so I've really been involved, you know, in the last few years with that as well. But it's relational, and Clem lived that every day in terms of those authentic relationships with people and being someone that was dependable, reliable, and trustworthy. That's Clem Haskins. And you know, kind of starting that as a base to what you do. That's how he coached. That's how he led. And that's why all those guys, you know, love him and will do anything for him, is because that's the kind of person and friend that he was. And sometimes being a friend means that you got to say some stuff that, you know, is honest. And I don't know, I have so much respect for him, but that authentic relational piece of who Coach Haskins was is, you know, has impacted me for my entire professional life.
Okay. So after working for Clem, you ended up staying in the Minnesota basketball scene in high school. So talk about that transition. And then I think some people know you had a fair amount of success at De La Salle.
Well, you know, the really good players at De La Salle made the dumb coach look good. you know, and I can tell you that, you know, getting back to that authentic relationship, you know, the president of De La Salle was a guy named Brother Michael Collins, who I know Ryan knows, who was, you know, God rest his soul, another pivotal person in my life, and another guy that built his leadership and his whole philosophy of education was about relationships. And so when I decided to go over to De La Salle, a big part of it was that I believed in what was going on at that school, and in particular with Brother Michael and their principal, Barry Liskey. And, it's interesting, the intensity part of it, like, you know, I feel bad now today for the refs that had to deal with me. Like the first year or two, I was ridiculous, you know, in terms of that competitive piece of it. But what is so awesome about my 23 years at De La Salle is that I got to interact and coach with guys that, you know, there was only one thing that mattered, and that was whether the team won or not, you know, and that the selflessness of those guys. And then secondarily, you know, and what was happening at the school. De La Salle is an awesome place. It's got a culture and a tradition that goes far beyond basketball. And the way that people feel about the school and the graduates, it was a perfect fit for me, and why I stayed for so long. I had a lot of opportunities to leave De La Salle and go back to college or go to the NBA. And, you know, the relationship piece of it was just, it meant so much to me that I wasn't going to do it. It's why I stayed 23 years.
Coach, and in that time, no, so obviously Nico Medved has considered you a mentor for a long time. When did your guys' relationship start, and how did it continue to build to the point where you became a coach for him?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, Coach Haskins, when I got hired, there were a couple of reasons why I got hired, actually. One was that they had just gotten into scouting, and they bought it was called a Lexicon, a video editor, and they wanted someone that was a coach that actually could run the video editor. And when I got hired, I couldn't do it, but they thought I was smart enough that I would be able to. And so that scouting preparation, that still kind of is, you know, what my MO is, I think, at whether it's been in high school or college, it started with that. The second thing that Coach asked me to do was organize the managers. And I think everyone knows that, you know, Nico and I became great friends. He really was my right hand during my tenure, in particular when I became a full-time assistant, because he was a manager, and our relationship grew that way. And you know, we were both students of the game, and I think that's Nico's greatest strength, as a basketball coach is that he's a constant learner, and he's so curious, especially offensively, you know, in terms of, you know, continuing to grow as a coach. And, but I saw that even then when he was young, and I was like that, you know, and so, you know, there were a lot of times where we were asking a lot of questions of other people and trying to learn and doing that together. And he and I became great friends. You know, my daughter was the flower girl in his wedding. Our relationship goes far beyond, the basketball court. And so, I am blessed. No one could have ever predicted, frankly, that one of my players would be the head coach at the University of Minnesota. And then another one of my closest friends, my circle at the end of the day is pretty small. And both those guys are in that small circle. Pretty incredible for me. I feel blessed, because I have those two friendships.
I mean, when you really think about that, Luke and everybody in the audience, like, that's the last two coaches now at the University of Minnesota. I mean, they consider coach a mentor. I mean, that's just that sentence is amazing.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I imagine just as you talk about kind of those authentic relationships, that's probably one of the keys that actually brought you back into college, right? Is the fact that you have a relationship with Nico.
It did. You know, he and Nico's he's a heck of a recruiter too. And so, you know, obviously when he got his first head coaching job at Furman, you know, I knew a lot about Furman because when I left to go to De La Salle, Larry Davis, the head coach at Furman that Nico worked for, he replaced me at Minnesota, and Larry and I were friends. And again, from a basketball connection standpoint, and another one of my closest friends is Steve Smith, who is the longtime coach at Oak Hill Academy. Larry actually was the first coach at Oak Hill, and Steve was his assistant. And so I got to know Larry through Steve. Steve just retired a couple of years ago. He's a close friend of mine. He lives in Nashville today. But at any rate, I was very involved at Furman. So obviously I was one that told Larry that's the biggest no-brainer ever is to hire Nico. And so I took Minnesota kids to summer camp there. Spent a lot of time in Greenville, and again, Nico and our relationship developed, you know, from that. And when he got the Drake job, he was smart. He called the most important person in my circle. That's my wife, Rita. And he convinced her before he even called me. And, she actually called me. We just won the state tournament. And she said, we're going to Des Moines to see Nico and Erica. And I was like, great. You know, and I got there and I'm like, wait a second, this is a setup. But it was a great setup, and it was the right timing for me. De La Salle, you know, we'd won six in a row. We just completed a third capital campaign. For me personally, it really was the right time to kind of take a new challenge, and no better person to do it with Nico and someone that I believed in. And so again, I'm blessed. I'm blessed that I've had this circle of friends that just are incredible people.
So, Coach, you've all the years you spent at De La Salle, and then you moved to the college level of coaching. I'm trying to picture, and it's hard for me to do this, so that's why I'm asking you. I'm trying to picture like how you go about your day of a practice at that high school, and then you go to college. How was the transition for you, and what are some of the similarities, and what's something that was tough?
Well, you know, at De La Salle, people forget that everyone thought I was, you know, coaching basketball 80% of the time. And the reality is that, you know, when I became vice president there, you know, I was responsible for raising about 35% of their budget every year. And so I was spending a lot of time on the road. And to be quite frank, one of the reasons that I decided to go back to college was I just wanted to be a basketball coach. I believed in De La Salle, but my passion, I think, as everyone knows, is coaching basketball and you know, developing those relationships with the players. And so, you know, that piece of it for me, that transition going back to college from high school was awesome because I had even more time, you know, to devote to, you know, the post players I was working with, for example. And I, again, I think people do in this state have a sense of kind of how I do things. And so, you know, that part of it was easy. I would say it's changed a little bit in the last couple of years because college basketball has changed, right? And now with the portal, recruiting is different. And obviously the way that I recruited Sam Jacobson and John Thomas, for example, it's way different. You know, some of it is, I still think it's relationship based. But you know, where Sam and John, I mean, both of them will tell you, Ryan knows, I mean, I wrote him a note every day. You know, there was a little less rules about how many times you could watch people. And so Sam, I think I've seen about every basket he ever made, actually. You know, you can't do that today, but, that being said, you know, I have a passion for people, and so kind of the way that it changes, I've doubled down. And I think Nico has said that, you know, we still, if we're going to win, this is going to be a relational deal. And whether it's in recruiting, whether it's developing players and your team, it's got to be about those founded in those relationships, you know, and the success, the quick turnaround that we made at Drake, the success that we had at Colorado State, it was all about those relationships. And that's why, you know, for working for a guy like that, like I knew exactly what he wanted and what's important to him. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it for someone else. If that isn't a part of how they're made up, I don't fit.
When it comes to the recruiting and the relationships. So when it comes to David Roddy, like, I don't know that I would ever count Coach out from anything or Nico out from anything. But like when they were recruiting David Roddy, I was like, oh, I mean, down to Minnesota, Northwestern, Colorado, that's two high majors. And they got that done. You guys got that done. Like, where does that recruitment and all the success that Dave's had since then, where does that recruitment rank with some of the, you know, the best, you know, the most important recruits that you were been able to get to?
Oh, wow. Wow. The hair just stood up on my arms thinking about, he told me about 5 hours before he made the announcement. So it literally went to the day. And, you know, the one thing I'll say is that David was very thoughtful and his mom was very thoughtful about kind of what the plan was. And they were able to filter through. Let's face it, we're all great salesmen at this level. And there's a lot of recruiting hype. And I think kids that make decisions that are based on more substantive things and not whether you're a Nike school or whatever, but what is the real plan? And Nico did such a good job of making David understand, one, here's what we're going to do to develop you individually. And where some looked at him and saw him as a football player, we didn't. I never did. And I maybe had a little bit of a head start on people because I knew him when he was younger. But I knew he saw himself as an elite basketball player and as good a football player. And don't forget, he's a heck of a track athlete. You know, he could have been easily a Division I track guy too. But I knew that piece of it was strong enough. And I think at some schools actually for a while didn't recruit him because they thought he was going to go to football because they didn't really know him. And we took the time. Nico developed an awesome relationship. Our staff did. And he believed in it. And the best part of it is that guess what? The plan worked. It worked for him individually. It worked for the team. It turned, he and both, and a kid named Isaiah Stevens as well, you know, it turned the program around there. And I think it's the blueprint for success. The Minnesota guys that have committed to us, you know, that's the way that we've recruited them now, you know, in terms of building a plan. And so the other thing I'll say about David Roddy is that David is a fierce competitor and he has a self-confidence. There's a difference between self-confidence and arrogance. And David always had that self-confidence and he really wanted to, take his own path and he did it. And that's why I'm so proud of him. And guess what? We were advocates for him in that. And so to be a part of his journey, it's just been, it's been awesome. And he, you know, when you recruit guys that are awesome people too, like it's just so rewarding to see them reach their dreams and goals.
And look, I don't want to make this all about Dave, but Dave, I think that was one of the best recruitments that I've seen a staff go about and getting a kid. That one always sticks in my head. And Dave is so interesting. I'll never forget. He just sat down next to me at a breakdown game. And I had never met him before. And he just sat down and starts asking me all these very intellectual, kind, honest questions. And I was just like, this is an amazing young man. And at that point, I definitely thought he would be a football player. And I'll tell you what else. I was on the Mr. Basketball Committee. And Mr. Basketball Committee is, I can't remember, 9, 10 people. I don't even remember at that point. And I thought Dave should have been in the top five, but some didn't. And he didn't get on the top five. And we're in the Perkins meeting as a Mr. Basketball Committee. And here comes Dave. And I'm like, and he just was in the random. And I'm like, oh my God, I'll never forget this. Dave should have been on this. Here we're meeting about it. And he wasn't on the committee and he was eating right next to the table. Anyway, what track sport did he, what was he good at in track?
Oh, he was a sprinter and a thrower.
Okay.
And, you know, just a combination, such an elite athlete, you know, it's interesting. Ryan and I both had the chance to see him those last 2 weeks. He had as good a AAU July as any Minnesota kid has ever had. And at that point, that's when we were still going to Vegas. It was the last year that kind of that last weekend, everyone is in Vegas. And the Adidas and Nike teams crossed over in that last event. And I'm telling you, the last three games, I remember them playing against the Oakland Soldiers and then also an Adidas team. And David was so dynamite. And I thought to myself, I'm just hoping some of these other schools aren't paying attention like I'm paying attention. And again, it got back to that kind of chip on the shoulder that he had, you know, and that's one thing I'd say when you start to think about great players, and I'm old enough now, I can say I've seen decades, you know, of great players. There's some common tendencies, and one of them is that chip on their shoulder. And no, regardless of what their talent level is, they're competitors. You know, and when they step on the floor, it doesn't matter how hot it is. It doesn't matter how many people are in the crowd. They're going to give everything they have. And it's about the scoreboard. It's not about their own individual statistics. It's about what they can do to propel their team to win. And David had that.
So one thing I've been interested in is, you know, you've been a part of the Big Ten now, as it's expanded to 18 teams. Tell us about some of those long trips. You guys had an undefeated stint in California, but taking that, you know, long time where you're probably gone for, you know, multiple days at a time, how's that really changed things for a team?
Well, the West Coast Big Ten trip was interesting for us. And last year, you know, without question, different when you're on the road that long in the conference. You've got to break it up. One of the things that we did actually is Iowa, one of their assistant coaches was a friend of mine, Sherman Dillard. And he had told me that Iowa stayed in the same hotel the whole time. And he suggested that, he said, I don't think that's a good idea. I think you should stay in two different hotels. And, you know, USC and UCLA aren't that far away from each other.
Right.
But, you know, one of the things we did actually was we stayed in two different places, which I think was a good thing. And then the other piece of it is that you kind of have to do business as usual too, in terms of how you prep. And I would say with most successful programs, you know, there's a real pedagogy to how you're going to get ready in terms of, you know, 3 days away from a game or 2 days away from a game, and you're not going to stray far from that. And so, you know, and you got to be locked in the moment. And that particular trip, our guys did a great job. You know, and Dawson Garcia, what a leader he is, you know, in terms of how he goes about his business and just being locked in. And it really played out in those two games. You know, neither of those games started great for the Gophers. We were behind in both games, and yet we found a way. And I do think there's we get too caught up with it, ball screen defense and, you know, what plays you're running. And no, it's how you do it, you know, and it's that approach in terms of preparing for that. And so that's what I drew from the West Coast trip, was that you got to be true to yourself. You got to do things the way that, you know, you're constantly doing. And then, like I said, I think switching hotels like we did, I think that helped us.
I said one more thing on Dawson. I'll tell you, I think every Gopher fan in the world can't wait to see what kind of success he has at the pro level, wherever it is, whatever it is. He made himself a Gopher for life when it comes to a fan favorite. There's no doubt about that.
I can't say enough good things about him. And again, when you look at what's happened with college athletics, Dawson, it wasn't like other people were trying to get Dawson, that yeah. they were. And for him to be locked in like he was, and whether it's basketball or whatever else he chooses to do in life, he's going to be so successful. He's one of those guys that he leads by example. And again, going back to that arrogance, confidence, he's confident, but he's not arrogant. And when you see him, and especially with the young people, you know, the opportunities that I had to see him interact with young people this past year, it's powerful. And he whether it's basketball or whatever he chooses to do, he's going to have great success. And I'm the one, I tell Dave and Stacy, his parents, all the time, they thank me. I'm the one thanking him that I had a chance to work with him.
Well, I'll tell you, Luke, I got to mention, I'm sitting in the Williams Arena 90 minutes after game time, sometimes 2 hours after game time. There's only a few people left. I'll tell you, Dawson will sit there and sign autographs, take pictures with everybody. He's definitely a fan favorite.
I'll add a personal note there. So my son had his fourth birthday this year, right? I think he's starting to understand what basketball is and how you can have these like shared fun experiences. One of the games he went to is that game he hit that shot against Michigan, right? A great moment. But so he turns four this year, and we ask him, so what do you want your birthday theme to be, right? So this is probably 2 months before. My wife is a big planner on that. His birthday theme wasn't Gopher basketball. It was Dawson Garcia.
love it.
Yeah, my wife got him a Detroit Pistons T-shirt.
Let's go.
They played the Wolves that day. We watched the game. We were cheering for Dawson. Like it was an awesome thing. And I think maybe more a testament to him. We through Dinkytown Athletes reached out to him. He actually sent a video, didn't charge us anything, wishing my son a happy birthday. You know, he could have easily said like, "Hey, we'll take, give me some money or whatever." He didn't want it. He was just like, "No, I'll make you a quick video, no problem." He's just a great guy.
He's a true Minnesotan, and for the rest of his life, whether it's more a soda than a beer with Dawson, if you know him, like he's. But that being said, you can see this Williams Arena picture behind me. It's being replaced. And you know what it's being replaced by? That shot.
Yeah.
So there's a great AP shot of that. And it's not done yet, but they're working on it because he's a great, he is one great Minnesota Gopher.
Yeah. I don't want to keep you too much longer, Coach, but I definitely got to ask, this summer, the practices you guys had, what has been the energy and the excitement around, you know, the new group that's been in there this summer?
Well, you know, it's interesting. College athletics has changed, right? You know, and with the portal and new bodies, I think we got 9 new guys. But the exciting thing is that, you know, again, there was a real process as to how we selected those guys. And Nico has a great understanding of the type of person that he wants in his program, the type of person that we're going to try and recruit. And also, and in particular, offensively, he's got, you know, just such a unique style. And for me, that's been the awesome part of it is that, you know, I've been gone for 4 years, obviously, from that style. And so to see him work with the guys, and we've got a great staff, teachers, basketball guys, in a way that like that energy, like you said, has been so high, and guys have brought, an intensity in terms of not only trying to understand it, but just being selfless, you know, and some of it is it's getting the right dudes. And it's a little bit harder in the portal, obviously, because you have less time to develop relationships, but you know, you can do a lot of digging. I mean, that's where even if someone like myself, let's face it, I've been around a long time in the basketball world in this country. And, you know, you dig in terms of trying to find out about guys in a way that it's easy to see if a guy's a shooter, right? Or, you know, a powerful player, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, I think it's about what makes them tick. And that piece of it, I think, is going to fall into place. I think Gopher basketball fans, when they see this crew play, I think they're instantly going to like what they see in terms of how those guys go about it. And back to it a little bit, you know, since we started with Coach Haskins, they're the first thing that we always talk about, right, Ryan? You got to play hard. And I can tell you, Nico Medved's teams are going to play hard.
And it's still on the shorts, which is awesome. Yeah.
That is awesome. That, the benches, everything. Looking forward to it. I speak from the guy that I share season tickets with, Coach Thorson. He was going to be bummed to see if you were going to move on, but he's glad that he will be able to hear your yells from our seats continued. He thinks you have the best yelling voice in all of college basketball. So
I take pride in the fact that you can hear me on television. I know that Ryan, when Ryan's not on the road, he will say, I heard you on that ball screen. I take pride in that.
Yeah, for sure. It's the same thing. I get texts all the time all about that. So we thank you for joining us. It was a fun conversation, Coach Larson. We look forward to the future episode where all we do is talk about Clem Haskinisms. That'll be very fun.
Oh my gosh, that's going to be a book and a half. One thing I have to say about Ryan and obviously Luke, what you're doing is that what's so cool, because I'm a Minnesota basketball fan too. Like, I love Minnesota prep basketball, and Ryan can attest to it. But what you guys do in terms of for kids and student advocates is so powerful. And I've been in other states now recently, right? And I'm telling you, it's not like, no offense to Iowa and Colorado, it's not the same. Minnesota prep basketball is special because of the people that support the kids that are in it, and both of you are doing it. And so I'm grateful for that. And it makes Minnesota basketball or Minnesota, the state, a basketball state. I know it's a hockey state. I know that. No, it's a basketball state too. Yeah.
It is, like, there's no doubt. Minnesota basketball is special. People are like, so many schools of the East are like, you guys don't lose kids to prep schools? Barely. Because we have great coaches. We have great basketball atmosphere. We have great basketball competition here. There's no reason for kids to go to prep school around here. It's outstanding up here. So thanks for saying that. And thanks to all the coaches who make it outstanding.